Welcome to episode 17 of All of Your Business. These are the vulnerable, authentic, and unfiltered stories of business owners whose currents raise tides that lift all of our businesses, communities, and dreams. Before we get started, we are proud to announce that All of Your Business podcast has received a 2020 X-Ray Podcast Award presented by X-Ray FM. X-Ray FM, purpose-driven media at 91.1 FM and 107.1 FM, and find them online at xray.fm. On this episode, we welcome Bertone Faustin of Abbey Creek Vineyard. And now, executive producer and host, Michael Jonas.
You are the first person who has brought wine.
Come on, this is how we roll, man.
I know, I'm excited.
I got my people, we got the wine. Yeah, we can handle anything.
You want to introduce your people?
Yes, indeed. So our newest team member, we've got Taquette. I call her Takao. She reminds me of, because I think I'm messing with that all the time. Because it's funny, when I first met her, Takao is deep in the streets in the industry. And when she first started coming around, I couldn't for the life of me remember Takao. All I know is this big, black, beautiful sister doing her thing. I was like, Takao. That's it. I know I won't screw it up if I always think Takao.
I bet she told you you got her name wrong.
Exactly. So it's like, I made it a point, you know. I made it a point to make sure, you know, that. And then we've got Jess, which you know as well. Jess probably has the hardest job out of all of them because she's my right hand and sometimes my left. You know, I am a thinker, a mover, everything. I mean, pie in the sky.
Yeah.
Everything. And Jess helps me distill.
So Jess is like, okay, you want to do 8 things? We'll do 2 of those right now.
Right now, right? Exactly. Because, I mean, you always hear about creatives. I mean, this is just what I do. This is the day in my life. Yeah. It would throw people off if you actually told them everything you did in your day. You know, we've been from TV commercials in the morning and podcasts in the evening, or, you know, I'm in Tokyo, you know, here and there. But I call it control chaos. You know, yeah. I live in this realm of control chaos. And for the first 10 years of it, I did it solo. You know, I did it solo. And this past 2 years now, 3 years, I've started bringing on and building this squad. And to not be great at where we are, but it's all about where we're going.
Absolutely. You know,
literally, it's all about where we're going. And I think that's the hardest thing entrepreneurs don't think about when they're hiring or bringing people on, because you always think that you're bringing on somebody for this specific need right now, right?
Sure.
But no, I mean, and again, especially with Taquette, she raises the bar, you know, for the other lanes and the other places we need to be, you know, and we need those type of people.
How do you hire such great people? Because I often get asked that. I get asked, you know, you have someone's resume, you don't really know who they are.
Correct.
So how do you find beautiful, hardworking, intelligent women? And how are you sure that they understand your vision? Because that's really important.
It's definitely feels. And when I mean that, it's a feeling thing. It's a time thing. So, for instance, Jessica was a customer first. You know, she was just a customer that happened upon us because she Googled Black Winemaker one day, you know, and happened to come to the Creek. And it's funny. So at the Creek, we don't have a wine club. We have a tribe, because anybody can join a club. The tribe you get welcomed into because of who you are. We probably have 600 people on a waiting list that I never look at. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's the same thing with these ladies. You know, they came into the space, you know, and they were just themselves. And over time, you know, then Jess was like, hey, I'd like to, you know. She was hanging out all the time, so it's like, hey, you know, I can work a day or two here, and it was just great. She just fit well,
yeah,
you know, and it was one of those things that, and then it was like, well, shoot, what do you need to be here full time, you know? And we found this common ground, and it was like, and I've accepted, and I understand, no one is going to love my business as much as I do,
sure,
and yeah. I'd be a fool to try to have them or to expect that from them. But what I try to do is, okay, what are your passions and what do you love? And how can you being here, how can we get you there as well? Mm. You know, and that's kind of the idea. Taquette threw me off personally, because I didn't necessarily get a resume from her per se. We put out a job ad. We always do that.
Sure.
We do the generic, you know, we don't put a name or who it is. But then these two, you know, pal around. And she was like, Tiquette wants to apply for the position. I'm like, huh? Why? You know? Because I put Tiquette here. You know, she's at this level. She's a psalm. She's the industry, you know? She's the industry person. So I didn't think about it. I was like, what she want to work with us for,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what's funny, and now just thinking about it, my thoughts or my feelings, it was because of my insecurity, you know, to question. It was like, well, sure. Shit. She's better than me. She's this or that. Why would she want to work?
You mean with like me? Like an imposter syndrome sort of deal? Like
correct. Even though I already know I'm half amazing. I've been doing this over 13 years.
Yeah.
You know, and then just a quick thought of, oh shit, Tiquette wants to work with me. And it's back to the me being afraid that damn, I guess I can't be lazy. Damn, I can't slap. Damn, I gotta push myself. But again, that's what I love is the fact that I've got peeps that make me better. You know, yeah, as well. Absolutely. And I'd be a liar if all of this was created because I truly, you know, wanted to do all of this stuff. No, and it is these things that keep pushing me. It's that pressure. It's that constant pressure
yeah.
that I think make us great, you know, so.
Well, you know, part of it, I think, is believing in your vision. So hiring people that actually get what you're trying to do and get where you want to go, mm-hmm. They're not stagnant, right?
Correct, correct.
So, you know, tell me about this. So you mentioned Jess Googled black winemaker. She probably didn't find anything except for you. You know, I know that you've been cited as the first or the only black Oregon winemaker.
Correct.
So what is your thought of that? Like when people talk about that, do you go, oh, I guess I am. Do you think, you know, why is this? Like what's kind of your emotional underpinning when someone reaches out to you and says, okay, I want to reach out to you and talk to you because you're black and you're in the wine industry.
So initially, and what most people don't realize, because everyone asks me, well, you know, how'd you get into the industry? It must have been because you loved wine, et cetera. I'm the accidental winemaker. I got here through tragedy, actually. Born and raised in New York. My family's from Haiti. My parents and my elder siblings were all born in Haiti. I moved out here in 99 trying to get to California. You know, I was living on the East Coast, and I was like, you know what, I'm going west. Ended up at OHSU. I was an anesthesia technician, ended up meeting my wife there. Started a family, and life was what it was, right? But in 2007, my father passed. And I was overwhelmed with feelings of not living up to the legacy. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I mean the immigrant hustle. You know, my parents and my siblings coming to the States, white folks calling them, you know, boat people. Black Americans would call them Uncle Tom, and even their fellow Haitians shunned them as if they did because they made it and didn't give back. Yeah. You know, so all of those troubles and challenges that my folks went through made me feel like, you know what, I was living my life safe. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was, you know what, I'm no longer going to be in a position where anyone else or a job is in control of what fulfills me.
Sure.
So I quit my day job. That's it. I was done. The opportunity side was the property that I ended up buying from my in-laws happened to have 5 acres of grapes on there for farm deferral. My vineyard's up on Germantown Road. All of our neighbors planted Christmas trees. You know, my in-laws didn't make wine either. I didn't even drink. My plan B was I was going to make raisins if it didn't work out. You know, but that's that immigrant hustle. You know, sure, that was sure. If my folks could do what they did, I'm going to go ahead and make wine. But still, I didn't own the title of being Oregon's first black winemaker until 2012 or 2015. Because again, I was doing it selfishly. I didn't want to be your inspiration.
Yeah.
You would have saw all of my cracks. You would have saw all of my failures and flaws. But 2015, customers are coming into the tasting room and asking, you know, who's the winemaker? And when I say me, I'd get a glare, kind of. You know how the dog looks at you when it turns its head sideways.
And then, because people are thinking, you know,
hold up.
You're not some white, I don't know, white in a suit, a last name, McConnelly.
What was even crazy, people would call me Bertoni because they're assuming it's Italian. I'm French, so it's bétonné. You know, so again,
oh, hey now.
Yeah, you know, so all of the assumptions of, you know, well, you know, you don't have a vineyard, do you? Yeah, I do. I own 50 acres on Germantown. Yeah. And then it was always, well, how? So yeah. It ended up being me having to defend who I was or how. Sure. So that's when I was like, all right, that's it. I'm done. I'm going to go ahead and own the title of being the trailblazer, being this pioneer. And that's when I produced the documentary. You know, that's when that all came, because I decided, and my coach and I, we talk about it all the time. We've all grown up with the word token being negative. Mm-hmm. However, someone needs to see you. You know, you go to Vegas, you want tokens, don't you? So what matters is the value put on the token, you know, and that's what I get to control. You know, so I will be that token. I will be that beacon. You know, I think about my kids. Up until 2016, they only knew a black president all their lives.
Yeah.
You know, what is that representation doing for them?
And the kids, you know, now, all they know is a clown. they think that presidents are clowns.
The comments that were just made on his and his alone.
So let me ask you this, because it seems, well, first of all, black people have to educate white people, which is exhausting, I bet, you know, because it's a constant, like, let me tell you why I'm here, and I am the owner, and I am the, you know, it's a constant, like, you can't just be. But I guess, because you mentioned there's pressure in that.
Correct.
Because people look towards you, they want to make sure you're doing everything as they want you to do. Do you feel that pressure? Do you almost feel like, okay, I wish there were multiple black winemakers so I could just be a winemaker? I don't have to be, like, the black winemaker.
No, not anymore, honestly, because I've accepted it. You know, I've accepted the role of who I am, whether that's the educator, the pioneer, the token, the leader. And now it's fine because I'm in control of that. Yeah. You know, and I've accepted that, especially being the first. You know, so I'll always be that title. You know, I'll always be that first. And someone else made a comment to me one day, wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to say black winemaker or black business? But however, my thing is no, because now we're just generic, sure, you know, sure. Might as well be Amazon.
Well, we're yeah. And that's the whole, you know, being colorblind versus being multicultural.
Correct. Because so many people would say, I'm not African-American, I'm Haitian-American. Mm. And if I don't make that distinction, now you're discounting my Haitian heritage. You know, so I see the vein where people think, like, colorblind. No, I want you to see my color. Just don't let it affect you on how you treat me. You know, and those are those things.
Sure, and I love what you said about representation, because I think that's important, too.
Yes, sir.
Because there's being an advocate, right, and taking on, you know, an advocate, lobbying, political role, whatever. And then there's just being you doing the thing. And so people see that. You know, and I think about whether people love her or hate her. You know, I think of Kamala Harris. I think of the Obamas, like you mentioned. I think of all these, well, the you know, you mentioned Squad, a different squad. Mm-hmm. But I think of Ayanna Pressley and Rashida and all these women. And they're just like, yes, they're political. Yes, they have their passions. They have their policy. But it's also a small child sees, okay, correct. I can be a black leader. I can be black doing this. I can be black doing that. It's not just the advocate part. So for you, I mean, have you ever thought about, like, how do I balance the two? Like, how do I make really good wine and be a good social justice person? How do I weave those together? Have you thought about that? I mean, I know that you've thought about it because it's part of your brand, but what's your take on that?
Again, I don't. It's all one. I'm me, first and foremost, because I decided that my brand wasn't going to be what's in the bottle, because you can get that at the Chevron. You can get wine anywhere.
I don't know.
Want.
This is very good. I don't think I've gotten this at Chevron.
But it had to be bigger than wine.
It's pretty good. It's no Brut.
It had to be bigger than wine. So then that meant the wine. And I know some people hearing this out of context, when I say the wine doesn't matter. It does, because that's my vehicle in which that I open doors, that I'm able to have the stage and the platforms.
Sure.
But what's in the bottle is not as important as who I am and what we do. We break bread. We commune. We bring people together. On our tasting room, windows, instead of saying bold reds and crisp whites, it says Feed Your Soul, Love, Magic, and Moments. You know, because it's the moments that bring the people back into the space.
Yeah.
You know, that's what people remember. You can look at all of our Yelp reviews or whatever, which I don't, but I'm not a Yelper. I've got another opinion on that. However, everything people start with is, man, it was a dope ass time at the Crick.
Yeah.
Man, you know, me and my friends, we came from Seattle, LA, wherever. We get people from all over the nation.
Yeah, well, when we went, I mean, I couldn't even move. I ate so much.
But it's the moments, it's the space, it's the environment. So I don't need to be a great winemaker. I thought I did back in the day. Mm-hmm. You know, 2010 was my crux when I was like, all right, that's it. I'm done making wine.
Yeah, well, and that's what I think business owners need to realize is there's always the service or the product, and then there's always the how are you delivering it? What's your place in the community? How are you having relationships with people? Are you building trust? Are you creating memories? So I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you have to think about the product. I mean, to some degree, of course. But if you're not thinking about, like, who am I or who is my company in this location or with these people, then you're doing yourself a disservice.
And there's no fulfillment in that, at least not for me. You know, once I accepted that everyone wasn't going to be my customer, that gave me the freedom. That's when the logo changed to the Hip Hop Wine and Chill, the headphones on the glass and everything we do, because it didn't matter what you wanted.
Yeah, which I want to ask you about, because I absolutely love that, because there's the music component. I know you love hip hop. Can you talk about that and how that, you know, it probably gets you going when you're working, but also you, someone who loves music, I mean, you hear it, see it, it's constant, so... How did you decide to incorporate hip hop into the Crick, and you know, how does it play out? I guess would be the question.
Gotcha. Yeah. No. I always refer to Mims. Music is my savior. You know. So music was always a big part of everything I did, and because of the direction that I came into the industry from the tragedy of the passing of my father, from me deciding to take the stand and be me, do me, fulfill me. I was trying to seek a spot or create this environment where it didn't matter who came in.
Sure.
I created this for me. And then what happened almost, I guess, serendipitously or by accident, the fact that it was hip hop brought the intimidation level down.
Sure.
You walk in the door or you're coming up the sidewalk, you're like, is that bass? You know?
Well, in that character that I was talking about, the made-up white person, the McConleys, they're probably all about that jazz. But they're, well, jazz was also stolen by black people, from black people. But I mean, they're all about that. Like, you don't walk in, you don't hear Big Pimpin', you know, you walk into a McConleys. Yeah. So, you know, I think that's an interesting contrast because it's like, okay, we could drink wine and listen to hip-hop. It's not... you know, two separate types of thing. So how do you incorporate that? I mean, when people go and they taste wine, are you playing hip hop? Are people drinking and dancing?
It was about setting the tone and setting the stage. I knew there was no one like me in the industry. I'm already different. I'm already the outcast or the oddball. So I might as well take it all the way left.
Sure.
And just do it my way, literally. And it's so funny. You know how many emails and calls we get? Hey, is this hip hop night tonight? It's hip hop every day, you know. It says hip hop, wine, and chill. You know, so literally
hip hop night sounds like either, you know, like an 18-year-old and over dance club or like
it sounds like it's a gimmick.
Yeah.
You know, if we did hip hop days
or Zumba night, like
correct. Those are gimmicks. No, literally we eat, live, drink, and breathe hip hop. Yeah. You know, and sometimes we do have a live DJ. But most of the time, it's always our live playlist.
Who are your favorite artists? Because we have to know. I know this wine that we're drinking is called Janelle Monáe. You know, I mean, who doesn't love Janelle Monáe? You have to be dumb and blind. Excuse me.
At this moment, and I would say Jay-Z. And the reason about Jay-Z, if you follow his history, Jay-Z.
Of him retiring like six times?
But he morphed, right? You see the Big Pimpin' videos, he's in Jersey, you know, on the boat and the bling. Then all of a sudden, go up a couple of years, Jay-Z is in.
Dancing.
I know, there it is. Yeah, literally, this is what happens at the crib. Okay. Every day, a song comes on, and it's like, oh, hey,
yeah.
Dance break. But
H to this, oh.
You know, but then all of a sudden, you see him in button downs, right? And then now he's in Tom Ford.
Okay.
You know, some people will call him a sellout, right? Because he's not keeping it real. No, he's keeping it real. He's morphing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the rapper who gets the platinum album and still talking about how you broke in the hood. And, you know, no, yeah, you're driving the Benz. You're driving Bentleys. You're not. So that's what I loved about him, but he still kept to his craft.
You know? Yeah, but if you're a good rapper, you're a good rapper. That's
correct.
The fact. Yeah.
You know, and he was able to morph and transition. So that's one of them. And, of course, Biggie, we always get the, there was a controversy. You know, was Biggie really as good as he was because he died so early? You know, and it was just... Yeah, no, but the beauty was this conversation was happening in the middle of the winery, you know, with two other customers, and that's what I love, the conversations that we have at the crib. You would never.
I'd be there telling you Tupac's alive because I've seen people that look like Tupac.
Oh, but that's the beauty, and you know, and you saw the girls starting dancing. What's even more warm is when you see your customers start dancing. You know, that's like shit. Yes, we did this. You know, this is what I wanted to do. Even the names of our wine. One of our members, one of our tribe members came in yesterday.
Crazy Kanye.
Came to pick up some wine. And so I nicknamed all the wines. All the wines are hashtagged because it's about a feeling and an emotion as opposed to the varietal of what it is. And I was must have been tired because I was like, oh, do you want the Mélange Blanc or... She's like, I don't know what that is. She's like, well, what's his name? I said, Yin Yang. She goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Give me the Yin Yang twins. Yeah, I did. I called it the Yin Yang twins. I mean, and this woman is elder, you know, maybe 60s white lady. And she came back to get her refill on the Yin Yang twins, you know, because we took Gavroche Chimino and Albarino, blended those two together. But again, and I had to look at tequila. I was like, yep, that was so dope. She even corrected me.
I just picture like, I just picture like a bunch of old white women being like, to the window, to the wall.
They love it at the crib, bro. I mean, literally, this is no joke. Honestly, that is my different demographic. That is my largest demographic is 60-year-old white women.
Who else? Who do you like right now? Like, you know, well, let's play this game. Nicki Minaj or Cardi B?
Ooh. Pass. No comment. I know this is gonna be.
Well, maybe I'll throw in Lil Kim.
No, I still pass. I'm not going down that road.
Who do you like that is rapping right now?
I would say Roddy Ricch has impressed me with what he's been coming out and doing in the sense of the, you know, new rap. I'm supposed to not like new rap because I'm an old head, right?
But you can like whatever you want. I mean,
but no, Roddy Ricch definitely. I've been impressed. It was like, okay, with his lyricism and the beats and the production. But you can't sleep on Busta came out with brand new album like the old school joints. Busta didn't flip.
Busta, you know? I saw Busta when I was an undergrad performing. Okay. Amazing. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's a sign of your career struggling if you're like on Dancing with the Stars or he was on Masked Singer.
Okay.
And I go, and I knew, and I guessed, and I guessed, and I guessed it, and I told my boyfriend, I go, that is Busta. And we're like, maybe not. No. We're like, why would Busta be on Masked Singer? And then he takes off his thing, and I go, I told you, it's Busta.
Because he got a new album about to drop. Busta knows what's up. You know?
Busta's going on Masked Singer.
Oh, no. It's
but
like
he's
that.
Good. I don't know what happened to Twista, if Twista's still performing.
Actually, there's a new K-Slay collab out. It's called something 50. There's 50 cats spitting on there. You know, it's a new K-Slay. It's an 11-minute track. Yeah, it's an 11-minute track. Twista is on there. And you're listening to 50 cats with their verse. And all of a sudden, Twista comes in like classic Twista and just hits the speed and does his thing. Literally, it's a K-Slay, DJ K-Slay.
I'm just going to ask you your opinion on people. What's your opinion of T.I.?
The rubber band man. Well, T.I. expeditiously, and, you know as he even says it, that's that jailhouse education, right? You know,
mystical. You gotta, what's your opinion?
Why'd you make the song, Mystical? I mean, I love Mystical, you know. I remember somebody said Mystical looked like his breath stank all the time. You know, just the way he's on. Ah! Danger! But again,
watch yourself.
Yeah, right? Oh.
Yeah, so I think it's great. I think, you know who you are, and that's what you present. And you want it or you don't. That's what people have to decide.
But I had to learn to own who I was.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about that. Tell listeners about that.
5 years ago, I was at the point of my career, I could have hired a winemaker to make me, or a mentor to make me a better winemaker. But instead, I decided to hire a coach to make me a better me. You know, again, that's where everything leapfrogged once again for me, you know.
Like a business coach or a life coach, or
he doesn't like the term life coach because everybody thinks woo, you know, and yeah. You know, it sounds better to say it's a business coach.
I thought you brought your essential oils and crystals.
No, so yeah, pretty much, but no, he is a life coach because it's all about the life that I want to live.
Okay,
he helps me manifest the life that I want to live, whether it's the house I want, the cars I want, the whatever. Okay, what do you need to do in order to live that life? Everybody tells you, do what you love, but no one can really pinpoint, okay, now how can you make money doing what you love and doing it your way? And this is Burger what my King? Coach, you know?
No, yeah, but you're absolutely right. You got to monetize, but yes, you also...
Because you need money.
But you also can't lose sight of yourself, especially if you're committed. Because that whole point of you leaving being what, an anesthesiologist, if I can't even say the word right now,
anesthesia technician, so I was an assistant.
So you know, your decision to leave that and to go into this, you basically decided, like, I don't want to have a 9-to-5 job, I don't want to have this kind of boss employee situation.
It was a control thing. No one was going to be in charge of my fulfillment,
and then you're like, I'm going to do this. So was it okay, how do I make money making wine? Was that some of the question
early on, again, because I was blind, trying to follow the wine route. You know, honestly, to me, the wine industry, the way it's traditionally put out there, is the worst idea ever. You never go to any business college, see if they use the wine industry as an example of good business. What industry prides itself on its motto being, in order to make a small fortune, you start with a large one? It didn't make any sense to me then. Yeah. It still doesn't make any sense to me now.
Well, the people who do it, you know, like Francis Ford Coppola, they have like billions of dollars and they're just like, I don't care, I'm going to have a winery. Whereas, you know, if you're an ordinary person, you need to pay your bills. Like,
but unfortunately,
you can't just be like, hey, I'm going to open a winery, guys.
The industry has romanticized it so much that there are regular people attempting to do that. And it's never going to win. It doesn't pencil out. You know, it's almost impossible to pencil out. However, again, I had the fortitude or the wherewithal to be like, you know what? I can't try to fit into the industry. I need to take it and make it my own. You know, and that's what we find. On paper, we're not supposed to be here right now. I'm not supposed to be in the industry 13 years, 2 retail locations. We just bought a third commercial kitchen, literally right next door to the Creek in North Plains. We're not supposed to be doing things way big and the numbers that we have. I've got 5 employees now. You know?
Tell us about that. I want to hear it. I am giving you permission to brag because you deserve to brag. So tell me about your growth.
Correct.
And keep in mind, we're in a pandemic.
Yes, indeed.
Which doesn't mean you can't be successful, but I just want people to know that, you know, you can hustle in good times and bad. You can still be a decent person.
I started my first label and brand in 2007 in that recession. Mm-hmm. So again, I mean, the beauty of my success right now was all of the work that we did in making sure we were bigger than the brand in the sense of the thing. Humanity has been our brand from day one. That's what brings people back to us. That's where, to me, I feel that the success has come from, you know, holding true to that. You know, and I know there's businesses closing down and there's people losing jobs and all of these other things. But because of my heritage and my history, imagine you as an adult leaving your home country, going somewhere where you don't speak the language, don't have a degree, because the life you lived was so bad. Again, those are those, you know, those thoughts whenever things get hard to me.
Yeah.
That's what I lean on. You know, if my parents came to the States in 69, You know, imagine that, right? So for me, that's always, so my motto or the way I look at things is always, now what? And I do that with my successes as well.
Yeah.
I don't revel in, you'll never really see me super happy or super down. I'm always in this middle lane. And that's part of me being broken. I'm never content. You know, I'll tell you that. I'll go ahead.
Well, and I think gratitude is a really important thing too. You know, so, just being like, taking a moment and being like, okay, look what I have. You know, I have shelter, I have food. I'm not in a war zone. I'm not worried about what tomorrow's going to look like.
Well, correct. Everybody always asks me, how you doing today? I woke up.
Yeah.
You know, that's usually my answer. I woke up
like today. This.
I'm good.
Flawless.
I let the girls do the Beyonce hook. But no, literally, I mean, I don't look at life in that sense of, and I get mad at myself if I ever find myself wanting to complain.
Yeah.
You know, we are blessed, you know.
But you also are doing a really great job. Yeah. So I'm going to give you a moment to brag about that. So tell us about, okay, you're expanding. There's the commercial kitchen. You brought me wine, which is extraordinary. Sir. Not that I have expectations, but I wouldn't have complained about mac and cheese either. I'm just saying.
Oh, literally.
But yeah, tell us about that. Okay, so I knew there was a company, I think next door, that was a catering company.
Correct.
So,
and what most people don't know about Clay's Catering, when I bought the building in North Plains 8 years ago, unbeknownst to me, the owner of Clay's Catering had known my in-laws 30 years prior.
Wow.
And there was a relationship already there. And I just happened to buy the building right next door to him. And so it's not... And they were planning on shutting operations down, going on. He had some health issues. The kids didn't want to take it on, knowing that dad was always going to be there anyway. But they reached out to me, and COVID obviously helped, you know, solidify some things and push them along. But we've used Clay's Catering for all of our events. They do our brunches. They do all of our dinners. Amazing people, first and foremost, and an amazing family. And what I loved about it was that previous relationship with my in-laws got extended, you know, and we were continuing that legacy, you know, with me, through me as well right now. We just closed on it literally probably a couple of weeks ago.
Congrats.
So, yeah, now we do own a commercial kitchen. It's the Crick Kitchen, you know, and it falls beautifully in line with all of the other amazing things we want to do. One of the things I talk about all the time is it's great that I was the first, but it's more important that I'm not the last.
Sure.
You know, so what am I doing to change that? A, it's just the representation alone, the documentary, the keynoting, things like that. But also, we had the wonderful opportunity to bring in the kids from Rosemary Anderson, the alternative high school over in the northeast Portland area. They came maybe 2 years ago and were in the vineyard with us multiple times from March all the way till harvest. And at that last point, we brought the fruit in. They're in the winery, you know, doing science, you know, and not knowing that they're doing science. And we just felt like it was a jip because we couldn't give them anything.
Yeah.
So we made Pinot Noir juice.
Oh,
so
okay.
The
That's
kids
cool.
can actually taste, you know, the fruits of their labor, you know, pun intended there. But it was just this amazing feeling of...
I was about to think you're giving kids wine.
Yeah,
it's
like, no, okay. That's why I had to
doing
say
some,
that.
Doing some, this yeah. may be off the cuff, but doing no. some Michael Jackson things there.
And roofing the kids? No. No.
So what is it? It's grape juice.
It is grape, but the thing, the beauty about that, right? Farming is life, and that's what we do first and foremost. So we wanted the kids to see that I don't just show up and there's grapes ready to pick. We've got to do all of these stages before this end result. And then for actual wine drinkers, I cannot make great wine if I don't have great juice.
Sure.
You know, so that foundation of the juice, that's where we forecast to see what that vintage is going to look like or be. You know, so there was so many teaching moments through that, that working with those kids opened the eyes for me as well. And then the other thing, my vineyard is not in La La Land. I'm in, you know, in the West Hills of Portland, 10 minutes from St. John's.
Yeah.
Showing those kids that, wow, you can have this too.
Well, and you know? Correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, a lot of Black families don't always either go into nature, have access to nature, or there's a lot of pain of,
correct.
You know, working on that land, being oppressed for 400 years, associating that with being a white slave owner versus I can be one with the land, I can own this. So is there any sort of, was there any sort of like moment like that with a kid where they're like, I had no idea, one, that, you know, you own this right. as a black man. And then two, they could actually use nature to learn and grow and actually make it a part of their life.
Harvest Day, there was a little moment we had. I bring in a full-time professional crew to pick. The gentleman, he owns the crew. It's a Mexican gentleman who owns the crew. Most of the folks who work on it are his family. But one of the kids from Rosemary Anderson was a young Mexican boy. And he was looking around. We're sitting down in the truck. And he's like, he felt so prideful being out in the vineyard, in the field with his countrymen. Again, we hear so many terms on the migrants and this and that, and in the negative sense, right? Sure. And for him to feel prideful that he was slinging buckets and carrying the fruit and bringing it with his fellow countrymen, where he wouldn't have not, if it wasn't for us, he wouldn't have had that opportunity to physically see this is what these guys do. You know, one professional picker equals like four regular folks. You know, it's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
You know, they kick butt out there, and these guys are professional.
Absolutely.
And we make sure we pay them correctly. I mean, Jessica's had a situation. I had to leave to the winery, and, you know, you can tell they were dragging and getting tired. And they were like, do you mind? And Jess was like, nah, stop.
Yeah.
And they were like, huh? Nah, stop. You know, go home. You know,
yeah. We're not well, gonna... I'm glad to hear that. I mean, I'm not surprised that you and your company treat people right, but I don't think people realize, I mean, especially during like fire season, they were
breathing
that
in.
Yes. During COVID, they don't necessarily have the protections they need. But yeah, I mean, there are laborers that they don't get proper breaks, water, rest, proper housing. I mean, the list goes on and on. Wages.
Correct. So we try to,
you know, for me. And I think about a lot of different people, but I think about Cesar Chavez, who said, you know, it's not about the lettuce, it's about the people. Like, these are people who have families, they have goals, they have dreams. They're also making money for, if someone's taking their life to help you for your business or to make money for you, the least you could do is show them that respect back. And yet we, in our culture, we just sort of, you know, turn away from that. We go and eat fresh produce, go to a farmer's market. We don't really think, like, this is labor that went into these fresh things, this wine, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm. And I think having those conversations, that again, those matter. Talking about that, you know, and there's been a big push in the wine industry lately, probably the last couple of years. Jesus Guillen, who was featured in my documentary, who unfortunately passed away a couple of years, he started this program called Ivoy. And it was working with the vineyard stewards, bringing them into the tasting rooms, bringing them into the winery, you know, showing them that you don't have to just be a field worker, you know, showing them this whole other side. They have like a scholarship program. But just the fact that it was created means now there's something to talk about.
Sure.
So now the language is on the forefront. You know, the industry, at least in Oregon, is finally figuring out. Again, it does matter that there's women winemakers, there's Latino winemakers, there's black winemakers, etc. All of that stuff matters. If we got such, we talk about such a diversity in wine, but we don't talk about a diversity in the people who make it and sell it, then it's a moot point, right? We're missing the mark.
And actually, you know? This is kind of funny, but true. I actually really enjoy on the back of the labels reading about the stories. I don't know if you have a cute little story on your back about Bartoni, who...
Go ahead and read that. Well, I guess I'm in front of...
But I always love those stories. It'll be like, ever since I was young, my grandpa Sam and I walked through and picked those grapes. It's a family tradition.
I'll tell you the story. You're on the back of Janelle Monáe.
Yeah, read it. Okay, it talks about Janelle Monáe, not about you on the back of that wine.
Yes and no. I call them crickisms. That's kind of our little bit of knowledge that we're imparting upon you, you know, when you purchase it. And this one says, life doesn't always have to be black and white. Sometimes the best choice is to be gray.
Yeah. You know?
And that was kind of our little inspirational moment or point. Usually we ended with, don't be a Richard. You know, that's the crickism that we try to give you. You know, but it's wine that is created in harmony with life as we... In life as we live today, yep. And nice. As we want to have it, or live tomorrow.
That's right.
You know, and
Again, maybe alcohol should come with a fortune cookie, or a fortune,
pretty much,
or a fortune cookie should come with alcohol.
Right? But why not, right? Again, yeah. This is, I want to give you more than just that wine in the bottle. So many people, when they get our bottles, not knowing what's on the back, they do what you do. They want to see the along the hills and the rolling tundra.
Sometimes it's actually touching to me, and sometimes it's like, this is awful.
So
But you know, a lot of people too, they buy the wine based on the label. You know, like someone's like, oh, it's a squirrel riding a bicycle. I'm going to buy that wine.
But the beauty about what you just said, that's marketing, right?
Yeah.
Not necessarily the terroir or the type of grapes and all of these other things that we lament over that excludes people. You know, if I walk into a room or a tasting and the first thing I start talking about is technical jargon and terroir, maybe I'd get two people that whole day who actually care, you know, yeah, or that I didn't make feel intimidated. You know,
first. How do you feel about people who, when they're tasting, they spit it out?
Oh, they can do whatever. They pay for that tasting. I don't care what you do.
I get mad because I think that's wasted wine.
No, alcohol abuse. You know, I can do what y'all want after you
bought it. So what is your favorite? Do you have a favorite wine? Do you have a favorite type of wine?
I'm all about wine per context.
Okay.
I want to be able to enjoy any and everything, all dependent on what am I doing and who am I doing it with.
Okay, I just thought about Barry White.
Yeah. So Barry White would be the big sexy. We've got the big sexy, or the look back at it. We got the look back at it. That's our red blend. But again, I think, again, the industry ruins it so much for us.
She's doing a little shake and shimmy over there.
Yeah, the cat's old soul. She's got that.
She really is.
You know, her mom's probably in the house doing the Roomba, listening to, you know. But again, I think the industry ruins it so much because they try to make us focus on one favorite or a type. I've got kids to tell me what they don't like. You know,
when
you come in as a consumer, no, this is wine in context.
Do people ever ask you, like, what do I pair this with? Does that make you happy, or are you just kind of like, I'm going to make something up?
Well, we don't make something up. The thing what we do is, instead of flavor profiles, we talk about feelings.
Okay.
Jessica's amazing at this one. We have the bigger red. That's our Mélange Noir, the look
back
at it.
Do you sell wine that comes with sheet cakes?
We can, if you know. But Jessica says it best. She's like, this is my cozy campfire s'mores wine.
Okay.
All of a sudden, now it transformed you into a moment. Because if she said, oh, you're going to get some tobacco, a little wet rock, you know, and red currant or bramble, you know. Now, what does that mean? You know, again, you're going to lose that person.
But, well, I at first didn't get, you know, I went to undergrad in Santa Barbara, and I took wine tasting and all that. Yeah, we went to Los Olivos, and it was all like, oh, you know, let me tell you about it. This is a crisp. I'm tasting pear, and I'm like, I don't taste pear. You know, I think that's interesting. I think people will always ask, okay, well, what kind of wine should I buy with this? You know, hey, I'm having a shrimp Caesar salad. What would I pair this with? I'm a white woman named Nancy. Like, what do I pair? Should I do a Zinfandel or a Chardonnay?
But, and then we do give guidelines. We do give guidelines and steer you. But it's never going to be a hardcore, no, you drink this with that. You know, I've heard the cat, nah, Bubbles, the Janelle Monáe you're drinking. She'll pair it with some chips. You know, what is it? The one kettle chips.
Ooh.
Because of the fat, the Janelle is dry, it's crisp. You know, so that's how we describe. We tell you about the stuff we like to eat and do. You know. I need to invest in Postmates with these two.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The downtown location, Postmates knows us well. You know, these two ladies on the regular.
Yeah,
they get Postmates up in the house.
I can't say anything because I eat and I eat my feelings. Good, bad.
I'm happy. I'm sad.
Well, I don't know about you ladies, but the issue is portion control with me. Mm. It's like, you know, okay, and my boyfriend, he is great. Like, we get like a pie or something, he'll have a little slice or have one cookie. I'm like, if there's a pie, whether it's pizza or whether it's like pie, like, And you keep, and you're like, okay, I'm done for the night. It's 10 o'clock. You have another slice. Then you wake up at 3 a.m. You're like, oh, we have pie.
Yeah.
If it's there,
yeah.
I might as well.
So tell me about the downtown location. Tell me about your growth and where that's going, where that's growing. Mm-hmm. tell us about it.
Downtown was an amazing opportunity. I mean, North Plains has been great. Again, I mean, you've been to North Plains.
I have been to North Plains.
It's the quintessential Coors Light kind of town. We've got a bar for every church and a church for every bar. You know, yeah. I could have gone to wine country. However, where could I be the most impactful? A place where you don't expect me to be. You know, and that's what North Plains was. Pre-COVID, we were bringing close to 200 people a weekend into North Plains that have never heard of North Plains, never took the exit off. You know, so that alone has been amazing. But then the downtown location was gonna give us an opportunity. Essentially, that's our megaphone. We were doing great and amazing things in North Plains, but not downtown. I always tell people, we didn't go to downtown to fit in. We went to go downtown to stand out.
Yeah.
Because right around us, we've got a winery, we've got a wine bar, another wine bar there, and everybody thinks, well, oh my gosh, you know, you guys are moving in the middle of all these wine bars. We don't just sell wine. You know, so, but the Crick life is kind of what we talk about. I call all my spots the Crick, you know, because...
Yeah, can you talk about that?
Well, coming from New York, you know, all of the nightclubs and the cool spots had a cool name. You know, and Abbey Creek Vineyard and Winery, that's my LLC. That's what I pay taxes with. You know, you want to come and hang. I think I said it one day. I said, meet me at the Crick. And then it stuck. Then we put it on t-shirts, and that was the whole thing. And then it expanded down to the Crick life. Because again, early on, so many people would want to love to tell me about my competition. No one's my competition, right? It's me against myself. Yeah. You know, so the Crick life mantra, that's what that has become. You know, so everything we do, we've got the Crick Kitchen now, Crick PDX. Our playlists are called Crick Hop. Nice. You know? So these are part of the branding.
He's putting out an album.
Yeah, exactly. Volume 2, you know? But this is part of that understanding of who we are as a brand.
Okay.
So going downtown gave us opportunity and more accessibility to corporate. That's our next level up. We are going to be doing corporate coaching, and I'm a keynote speaker. I'm actually rolling out this coaching program with my coach as well. Working with entrepreneurs, especially first, you know, helping them navigate that whole platform and area. One of the main things Takei got brought on to is we're going to start hosting corporate clients, Charles Schwab, attorneys,
nice,
et cetera, for their happy hours, their business meetings. The space is all, you know, hooked up with Wi-Fi and monitors. You can do a little workshop. But again, because it is the hip-hop theme and feel, we want to, this is how I'm changing the world.
Yeah.
By changing the game and the players in it. You know, so I'm going to have Charles Schwab and all of the thoughts of who they are and what they're supposed to be listening to hip hop at the Crick.
I mean, who knows?
While they do their thing.
People might show up in some parachute pants.
Bring it, though. Bring it again. And it's all about the feeling. And I want, and it's funny because we get so many new wine drinkers, especially people of color, because they've never felt comfortable going anywhere else.
Yeah.
But my thing to them, or my takeaway to them, is always, I want you to feel comfortable going anywhere now, because we've already showed you the mystique. It's just wine. You know, you can listen, you can drink it listening to Biggie. You can drink it listening to whatever. It doesn't matter. So now I want to arm them with that encouragement that they can walk into the fanciest chateau.
Why don't you think, I mean, why do you think Black people don't often know about wine? Is it because it's been like a white industry? Is it because of just not seeing representation there?
I mean, all of the above. We don't get marketed to. You know, part of it is our fault, you know, as well. I talk about it in the documentary, right? Everybody just thinks that, you know, we drink sweet wines, Henny, you know, and 40s, right? You know, but no. And we've created some of that, as well as the industries don't think that they can market to us. Again, because they're just selling stuff. They don't realize it, right? You know? But they don't realize the fact that the model that we've built, I'm getting all the money.
Yeah.
You know, I want to get the people of color. I want to get the young, the old, the white, the black, the whatever, because we're giving you this feeling. Yeah, as opposed to trying to make you feel exclusive or exclusionary. And the other thing about Oregon, because of Oregon's history, you know, that's why people of color don't own land, don't have... So all of these things, the industry may say everyone's welcome, but all of these other things are what excluding you and keeping you out of that realm.
Well, and it seems sometimes with wine, I mean, even, you know, even I mentioned I was in Santa Barbara and stuff, but there's this like, oh, you don't know about wine. And, you know, like this sort of like air of like,
it's ego, man.
It's like, you know, you talk about something and then someone's like, that's a 1965 cab. That was a good year. And I'm like, okay, sorry. Like,
No,
you know, it's sort of like this arrogance or, you know, and so I guess what you're saying too is it doesn't have to be that way. It shouldn't be that way.
Because at the end of the day, you know what you like. You know, I mean, I can help try to guide you. I can try to open your mind and give you some opportunities to taste. But your anatomy, your palate, your history, what you've done, you know what you like. So me just telling you that, okay, this got 97 points and it's blah, 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 you know, it still doesn't matter to you. I'll tell you a little. I thought back in the day I had to enter my wines into award shows, right? I had a gold medal for a 2010 Pinot Noir. I'm at the McMinnville Sip. Everyone loved the gold medal wine. It was, I was there for 3 days, though, so I kept moving the medal to different wines. Everyone loved whichever wine had the medal on it.
Interesting.
That was the last wine show I ever entered or entered award. It's all marketing and pitch. People are about feels.
What about how you, you know? Talk? If you talk like, well, this is a decadent.
And you can, but guess what?
A delicate grape.
If you start looking at people's eyes, you'll see their eyes rolling over. Like, not many people still, even though they may not say it, they that's going to push people away. So if you don't walk the walk and walk the talk, now you've excluded.
So how do you, okay, other than, you know, making it an accessible space, having hip hop, how do you make wine more accessible to all kinds of people?
A, it starts with the representation, right? You know, whether it's social media, whether it's the documentary, whether it's keynoting, everything we do is showing people that it's in your wheelhouse. We still get people today that hit us up on the gram, you know, oh my gosh, I just found you guys. You know, we're going to start supporting you, you know, because they don't
see on the gram, I love it.
You know, they don't
see it. Are you on TikTok?
I am not on TikTok.
I'm not on TikTok either, but I was about to say, you're cooler than I am.
No,
we
keep threatening our kids that we're going to, me and my wife are going to get on TikTok, but,
you know. I mean, for all I know, there's videos of you flossing on TikTok.
Nah, I'm an old head, and when it comes to that, nah, you won't find me ticking and talking. Unless Taquette or Jessica
I'm
going to
start calling it the gram.
Unless Jessica or Taquette can tell me why we have to and why it matters. But right now, I personally won't be on TikTok. No, sir.
So I have 5 questions for you. We ask every guest. So let me ask those questions.
Right on.
So the first one is, if this wasn't your focus right now, what would be your passion project or your focus? Keeping in mind your business is like 5 businesses in my life.
Right. My passion would still be trying to connect people, would still be the idea of being that person, the nucleus that people come to. I even joke sometimes, I call the crick the ghetto cheers. You know, everyone might not know your name, but they're willing to come up and ask you. You know, so many people have swapped phone numbers at the crick, you know, and even our tribe members and things like that.
It's not the ghetto cheers unless you have coupons.
No, we don't have any coupons, you know, but I would still want to be that person that facilitated. It's funny because I've grown up as an introvert all my life. You know, however, being in New York, being the stereotypical big black man, I'd had to change that to being this welcoming face. And that's also allowed me, you know, to be successful in what we do now today. You know, so I feel like I'm the connector, the passion. This is how I want to change the world, because I feel that people know how they come into the space, but it's up to me how they leave, you know, and our staff. So we get to change, literally. Imagine how many people in their careers, just waking up inspires and empowers people to do other things even greater, you know? So yeah, that would be kind of, I'd still be doing the same thing, man, changing the world.
That's awesome. Yeah. Maybe acting too. I saw you on a commercial.
Yeah, well, we got another couple of commercials coming. Yeah, I got to pay the bills, dog.
No, I hear you. What was it? It was
a Chevy.
A Chevy? No, yeah, Chevy. I look at my boyfriend, I go, that's Bertone. And then I said, I wonder if he gave them wine.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I hope they give you a car.
They didn't give me a car, but they took care of me. I got paid as a SAG actor. So
sometimes you can eat your way in craft service on those commercials.
I'm on next, hold up.
So what is something in your life other than your family, given or chosen, that you know will bring you joy?
Fitness, outdoors. Again, growing up in New York, and being confined, right? Concrete jungle. Mm-hmm. It's so funny how I feel. All of my creativity, all of that comes from when I'm outside. You should see the text that Jess gets when I'm outside doing shit like, Bertone's outside. Because I'm like, oh, hey, we should do this. Hey, we should do that. Sunlight, I'm a seasonal disorder kind of guy.
Sure.
So I need the sunlight. I am Mother Nature, really brings me joy, you know, and trying to find a balance, you know, of that, having that. But I need to move. I need fitness. I need physical activity for my enjoyment.
Cool. And what are you binge watching or reading right now? Like what sort of entertainment?
I'm watching Bosch on Netflix, Amazon, I believe. It's old cop shows. Law and Order was my guilty pleasure. You know, I would be sitting there and you hear dum dum. Well, I guess I'm not getting up.
Yeah,
the next one's about to start.
That's the best thing ever. Law and Order marathons.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Criminal Intent was mine. You know.
And you know, there's so many episodes. It just goes on and on. You could be there for day and night.
You're about to get up. Dum dum. Nope. Guess I'm not going nowhere.
Now, which Law and Order do you like? Do you like SVU? Do you like the other one?
I like the original and Criminal Intent, you know, and then the one where, you know.
Which one has Ice-T in it?
Ice-T's in SVU. SVU started getting too deep and too emotional for me, so.
Like two strippers attacking each other.
Yeah,
like,
it got extra, so. And not to discount, you know.
Sexual assault, yeah.
Yeah, no, by no means.
We don't think you're doing that with the comment.
I got to make sure we come.
You have to be in that mood to be able to watch something like that.
Yeah. Correct. And that's the thing. And I've got a daughter and, you know, wife and sisters and moms, you know, so it gets deep, you know. And if that's supposed to be I just want to chill and veg out, you know, it gets rough.
And when the world gets back to normal, whatever normal is, post-pandemic, where would you like to travel to first?
Italy has always been this weird destination for me, Tuscany, back in New York. For whatever reason, I took Italian in high school.
Oh, wow.
You know, yeah, so it was always one of those, you know, pie-in-the-sky dreams. However, Tokyo, I was in Tokyo last year. Amazing place, man. It was definitely dope. I do want to get back to Tokyo, you know, again as well. Talk about the Matrix. I don't know if you've ever been.
No, I've never been to Tokyo.
It feels like you're in the Matrix. Everybody looks the same.
I do hear they enjoy to drink and sing. Okay. Like there's like a party almost every night.
It's weird though. There's no balance. It's because they work hard, 60, 80 hours a week. And then they party hard 60, 80 hours a week. You know, so that's I think that's the tough thing about the lifestyle. Again, we take it for granted, you know, here in the States, you know, so.
If you were to give a TED Talk, what would the topic be or what would you want to share?
Breaking bread. Breaking bread, and that's actually going to be kind of the new direction we're coming out with and under the Wine Repurposed, you know, title. How do we use these things for greater purposes, for community, you know, et cetera? And that would be kind of the direction I would like to, because again, that's what I feel like we create and orchestrate. You know, you've been to the brunch. You see so many different people, types, styles, and those are my successes for me. Mm-hmm. When I look at the room and see the beautiful sisters over here loud and cackling and with the hats and everything doing their thing, you know, and then you get the white folks and then you get the young folks and then you get the older folks, and nothing has changed in who we are and what we do. You know, mm-hmm. To me, that's success. That's an amazing moment.
So are you telling me that we should drink instead of going to church?
You can do both. Churches, they drink at church. Maybe just bring your own bottle. Ask them if they have a corkage fee.
I know. So what you're saying, you're talking about social enterprise and community, and you love bringing people together. That's what it is.
And then on the business side, if you make more money bringing more and more people, different people, to me, it's the easiest thing ever. If I market to all of you, and through an emotion and a feeling, pandemic has showed us, at Amazon, you can get stuff from Amazon. You know, Amazon to me is the new, those commercials, infomercials. You know, I'll be up at 2 in the morning, don't know why I was ordering some shit. But, oh yeah, let me go look at Amazon.
Set it and forget it.
Correct. So, again, stuff.
4 easy payments of $24.99. Right?
But again, stuff is not important. People buy into things and feelings. And I think as entrepreneurs, we have to give our consumers more. Yeah. You know, we have to give them something more to buy into. You know, and it's always a feeling. And it's our humanity. It's how we make you feel.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and especially now, and then also post-pandemic. I mean, this is what people are going to yearn for, is these social interactions.
And the intentional ones, right? You know, you're going to think about, where do I want to go out and eat tonight? You know, or who am I going to go out with? Yeah. You know, all of those things are going to matter to folks. You know, so I don't even like the term get back to normal. I just want to get back to where I want to be, you know, where I'm going to be. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, well, the last kind of question is shout-outs. So give us some shout-outs to local organizations or companies that you're like, well, shit, they're doing a great job.
Oh, man, how much time we got?
I mean, we have as much time. I usually limit it to 2, but you can go on and on.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, you right here, man, and the JJT, you know, studios, giving people a place, a platform, a voice. You know, you are the megaphone, you know. How many of us can't reach all of the people and the demographics that you do? You know, so to me, it's a shout out to you, you know, and even having me on the show today.
Yeah.
You know, I totally appreciate that. And I'm flattered. The hardest part for me, again, is to put myself in the shoes that people see me in. You know, because I'm like, well, why do they want to interview me? Why are they talking to me? You know,
because you're amazing.
But I just do, you know, I just do. And again, this is what these young ladies, Taquette and Jessica, are helping me navigate. You know, how do we keep spreading the word, sharing, connecting, keep building? You know, because if it's up to me, I'm like, I'm not going to reply. I'm not going to do that, you know?
Yeah, and I have to not take that personal.
And it's not.
It's funny you say that, because it was like we're fangirling each other, because I was like, oh shit, Bertone wants to do my podcast.
I know. And then, but honestly, it was the relationship between you and Jessica. I mean, honestly.
Did it make you cry?
But it was the, again, my coach always harps on relationships matter, because we get hundreds of requests.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost ridiculous. And I'm like, well, how about the Verizon one? No, there's another Verizon one. How about the Google one? There's another. And so she was reminding me about this. I said, what podcast? Which one are you talking about? And she was like, the Michael guy. And then he helped me with some stuff. And then, yep, tell him we're on. That's it. Because that's what mattered. Because of the relationship with you two. And then the relationship that I have, then I definitely have to do whatever it was.
I appreciate
it. It didn't matter. Yeah.
And this is, you know, I'm about heart and community business law. We don't have Verizon money.
Yeah. But no, like I said, you took care of her. So whatever you needed from me, yes, I was 100% on board. You know,
and that's, again,
relationships matter so much.
Who else do you think is doing a great job right now? Like nonprofit, for profit, whatever.
I'm going to pass.
Okay. Yeah. No, and that's
I'm
fine
pass
too. Yeah.
Because I can't say one without saying all of the other ones, you know, doing their things. But one I'll give a shout out to is Rosemary Anderson. Again, Lee Rappaport is kind of our point of contact, who we've been working with. She is, you hear the term bleeding heart. Like literally, she loves these kids. She would do anything she can to give these kids an opportunity to see and do, and growing up as I did, not having that, I think that's so amazing, you know, and she allows us to, because I met them at a Black Farm Summit in Corvallis 2 years ago. She had four or five of these kids from the program, nice. You know, took them on the road to show them, you know, people of color in farming.
What is that program called? Do you remember?
It's just the Rosemary Anderson, you know, the school itself. It's a alternative high school. I know Joe McFerrin is the CEO, I believe, of the program, or owns it or started it. But again, people like Lee, you know, who are showing these kids, especially kids that are supposedly forgotten, you know, oh, you're in the alternative high school. Oh, you didn't go to the traditional route. You know, and what we loved about working with them, I could have gone to the school and talked at them like everybody else did. We brought them to the vineyard and just let them go to work.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of hang out in nature, you know, and do these things. Back in New York, it used to be the 4-H, you know, where they'll take you to the Poconos and, you know, let you ride horses and crap. But yeah, no, so that's definitely another one that I feel it's, I mean, again, and I'm saying that from being a parent, you know, and I've got to, my son's 14, my daughter's 12, you know, and it's watching them and what impacts their lives, you know, makes me think about it. So I think all of the kids, this is the only way we're going to make a better world.
Absolutely.
We got to take care of those kids because they are truly the next generation, you know. So, I mean, I'm old head. I'm 49. I just turned 49 this year. So I'm not going to have a lot of changing going on. So this next generation, the kids, those are the ones we need to invest in to make sure, you know, that there is a better life for them too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you being here and doing the podcast.
My pleasure, Michael. My pleasure, sir.
And I, you know, you not only brought alcohol, you brought your entourage.
No, that's how we roll. We roll deep, man. And again, that's what people don't realize. Even we're not in anyone's stores or restaurants. Yeah. However, we will do events. We'll do takeovers. So we literally bring our DJ. We bring the crew because it's a feeling and it's emotion. It's more than just the wine in the glass. If you want me, you're going to have to get all of us. Nice. You know, so this is what we do. We're changing the way entrepreneurs do business, you know?
Well, I am very excited about you and your business. I'm definitely looking forward to the growth and expansion. I like the wine, but I also like the point of view, right?
Yes, indeed. Bigger than wine. It's bigger than wine.
Keep it up. Keep being a shining example of a community member. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Michael. My pleasure.
Thank you.
Right on. Thank you.
A very big thank you to Bertone Faustin for being on this episode of the podcast. For the latest on Abbey Creek Vineyard, be sure to follow them on social media. And for even more, visit abbeycreekvineyard.com. Again, we want to extend a sincere thank you to X-Ray FM for the 2020 X-Ray Award. Check out all the good work they're doing at 91.1 FM, 107.1 FM, and online at xray.fm. And thank you for checking out this episode of All of Your Business. You can visit us at allofyourbusinesspodcast.com for previous episodes, sponsors, and much more. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and share with your friends. This episode was recorded at JJT Studios and edited at Track 11 Music.